You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
On Monday, film producer John Landau made a post on Instagram. Made it to New Zealand. Now, to some of you, this might seem odd. Our borders have been closed for the past months, with very few people going in or out. So how could an American film producer have made it to New Zealand? This is the result of an exemption made by the government to allow big-budget film crews to enter the country. And John Landau and James Cameron's Avatar sequels aren't the only ones. Workers for another film were granted entry too, though that project is still a secret. Many people aren't especially happy that a plane of 56 film workers were granted entry, especially when exemptions for other sectors such as horticulture and education are exceedingly hard to come by. This latest controversy is the result of the weight that overseas film industries have on New Zealand's economy, and marks yet another instance of the long-standing relationship between New Zealand and Hollywood, a relationship where Hollywood very much wears the pants. That secret project I mentioned earlier threatened to move on from New Zealand if they weren't granted exemptions, a threat that the Kiwi screen industry is all too familiar with. New Zealand's film industry is frequently reliant on foreign film crews to employ our workers. We're a popular location, and while our beautiful mountain ranges and gorgeous views are certainly a plus, they aren't exactly the main incentive. Those same workers that rely on foreign projects are the incentive, and that's not a positive. The recent history of New Zealand's screen industry is fraught with compromised workers' rights and tax breaks, creating a situation that's technically good for the economy, but hasn't exactly been great for the people doing the work. We can trace this back to the biggest event in New Zealand's film history since The Lord of the Rings, which is, of course, The Hobbit. In 2010, Warner Brothers threatened to move production of The Hobbit movies elsewhere. Unthinkable! Of course Kiwis, the people, not the birds, took to the street in protest. How dare you, Warner Brothers? There is nothing of greater national pride than the world of J.R.R. Tolkien, a British author who never visited New Zealand. The main reason for the threat was a dispute between Warner Brothers and New Zealand's acting union, NZ Equity, over the terms and conditions of contracts for the film. NZ Equity saw The Hobbit as an important enough project to effectively fight for the right to bargain collectively. Warner Brothers wasn't pleased, as most big companies are when their workers start to want things, and thus pulled out the biggest trump card they had. Now, I've largely been talking about actors here, but an important part of the story are the technical crews, the people behind the cameras, who weren't pushing for collective action and kinda needed the work. It effectively created a schism between two parts of the film industry, the cast and the crew. And many on the crew side of things were fearful that an actor's strike could cost them a big job. Of course, while this was all going on, the New Zealand public couldn't bear the thought of a different country taking up the mantle of Middle Earth, and so the government was forced to make a decision. Then Prime Minister John Key called for crisis talks with Warner Brothers, hoping to come to a deal that would keep The Hobbit in New Zealand and avoid the loss of a bunch of jobs. Key might have been a bit too eager to please Warner Brothers, though, as he offered a veritable smorgasbord of tasty offerings for the hungry studio, including the barring of film contractors from collective action and the ability to hire full-time workers as independent contractors, all within one day. The Employment Relations Film Production Work Amendment Bill, affectionately called the Hobbit Law, also offered subsidized marketing and additional tax breaks for filmmakers. It must have felt like Christmas. The Hobbit Law effectively pushed the rights of actors and crew farther back than they've ever been before and since, but on the bright side, those very average Hobbit movies got made here after all. It's been nearly 10 years since that bill was passed, and we've made marginal progress since then. Labour initially promised to repeal the law should they be voted in, but backed down from repealing it immediately when they won the 2017 election, instead choosing to form a working group to think about it for a few years. Earlier this year, that new bill was revealed as the Screen Industry Workers' Bill, and it doesn't necessarily repeal the Hobbit Law as much as it bandages some of its worst parts. The new bill allows screen workers to collectively bargain, though they aren't allowed to actually strike as part of that bargaining process. Many have celebrated the new bill, though, pointing out that industrial action hasn't been used by screen workers since the 1980s, and that the ability to negotiate for minimum standards and wages is worth the trouble. The new bill also allows screen workers to challenge their designation as contractors. However, the existence of the Hobbit Law still hangs over the New Zealand screen industry, a hastily written bill that gives a lot of the cards to major studios. It certainly worked, mind you, since 2010, a massive amount of big-budget movies have signed on to shoot in New Zealand, though one has to wonder what, or who, the cost of that incentive is.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.